Blog Talk Radio.
My son's birthday party that's coming up, so that's keeping me occupied.
Exciting.
Yeah, I understand about the more snow. That's a given this time of year. But that is pretty exciting, a birthday. And
you're
having
snow, too?
I would
like
to let you know that Laurent is here with us. So welcome, Laurent.
Hello.
Glad you could join
us. Hello, Monsieur Laurent.
La Palade de Jean's. That was a great song.
Yeah, did you know the song?
It was.
No, as a matter of fact, I didn't.
No? No? Okay. That was a cover by two other artists. But, yeah, it's been in our culture for a long, long time, that song. And it actually is one of the titles of one of the artist's paintings for tonight. So I decided to, she named her painting after the one of the famous songs. So I decided to put it.
What I liked was the phrase or the words, les gens heureux, you know, happy people, can also
mm-hmm.
sound like les gens dangereux, dangerous, or amoureux, in love. And for a little while,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't quite pick up which of the three
yeah.
it was. But then I got it.
La balade des gens heureux. Yeah, and it has beautiful, beautiful lyrics all through it. Like happy, just happy, just like the paintings. So it was a good choice.
Absolutely wonderful choice. And so go ahead and tell us about your topic, your prompt for tonight, and then bring us
yeah.
part of the show.
Okay, Pam, let's go. Okay, so first I'd like to start by saying hello to all the French Quebecers who are listening tonight, because we have quite a few. Some of my friends and Christine Genet, the artist, is listening to us tonight in person, but, you know, a lot of them can't speak English or understand. Some of them can, but most of them can't. So, I especially want to say hello to Christine Genet, who gave us the beautiful art that is showcased tonight and painted, and that we painted in poetry. So I'll say a few words in French, if you don't mind. I'll say hi. Alors, bonsoir à tous les Québécois, Québécoises qui nous écoutent ce soir. Et à la merveilleuse Christine Genet, dont la beauté de ses œuvres ont tous autant inspiré nos poètes d'au travers le monde ce soir à écrire de belles lignes de poésie. Fait que je lui souhaite une belle soirée, puis j'espère qu'elle nous écoute, puis toutes ses fans, puis toutes mes amies. So I'm just gonna... Yeah, I told you about the song. So now I'm just going to tell you a bit about Christine Genet herself. Well, she was born in Victoriaville. That's about in the middle of Quebec. It's about, right between Montreal and Quebec City. She was born in 1970, and she had an interest. So she began to have an interest for art around the age of nine. She started exploration, began with ceramics, then painting, drawing, sculptures, and other forms. And she's a self-taught painter. So she didn't have any classes. It just came natural to her. And... she discovered a vehicle of expression through her naive art, and her art works are inspired by an encounter with the real and imaginary world. She has quite an imagination. She enjoys painting characters and creatures that are both funny and amusing while trying to tell a story, and her works with their bright and sunny colors become a reflection of herself, bringing us back to the essentials, nature, the joy of living, and the simplicity that is her trademark. Her harmonious canvases create a dialogue that allows us to identify with and breathe in the rhythm of the subject exposed in her work. Her vision is always happiness and the joy of living. And what's fun about Christine Genet, and very unique to the artist, is that she has a Facebook page. And she, when she starts creating an art piece, she puts up her first, you know, her first drawings, you know, her first, her starting creation. And then she asks people, like, what to add in, if they want to add in, like, a cow or a tractor or chicken or a swing or flowers. Or, and she paints. She designs her painting. She creates her painting by what the people want. And then at the end, she asks the people to choose a title for her poem. So that I think that's really, you know, really, really cool, the way that she does that. So, yeah, that's you know, so Christine Genet tonight. And a Quebec art, Quebec.
Wonderful, yeah. Art. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I was.
Yeah. So anyway, just saying in French que Christine Genet elle a son studio en dehors, un petit peu en dehors de Québec. Vous pouvez la trouver sous le nom de Christine Genet et ses toiles sont harmonieuses. Il respire le bonheur et la joie de vivre et sont tellement belles. So, merci Christine Genet pour vos merveilleuses œuvres ce soir. OK, so we're on to poetry. So I was thinking we could start with the first poem by Betty Page, because she wrote a fantastic little poem by a beach house. Oh, I don't have the page up. I have to put the page up. Can you get it, Pam?
Well, I don't have the page up any more than you do, but sure.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to get it up.
All right. Let me go ahead and... Okay. On the page I'm looking at, Betty Page is not the first poem. There she is. Okay. All right.
Okay, is it possible?
All right.
So,
not yet.
No? Okay.
There we go.
Okay, so Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us by Betty Page.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. All right, My Little Beach House by Betty Page, and it goes like this. My little beach house filled with pure sunshine and love, bohemian home, pretty crystals hang, spinning rainbows cross my room, dancing silk hair free. Melodic music plays on my fine stereo, classic rock and roll. Watching ships pass by, I'm sipping on daiquiris made with island rum. Waves crashing to shore, colored glass, seashells tumble, collecting treasures. I'm growing flowers to surround my nice beach house in every garden. Waterfalls cascade, Polynesian paradise, clear blue heated pools, bubbling hot tubs, secret tropical landscapes, winding water slides, Japanese tea house, cherry blossom trees, bonsai, beautiful gardens. I walk at sunset, taking in nature's beauty, collecting seashells. I create my art with pretty colored glass. I paint mosaics, pretty bright colors, kaleidoscopic high daydreams as I'm baking sweets. I'm barbecuing a fine meal for my husband and our family. My little beach house is full of light and laughter. love makes it my home and poem.
Yeah, what a delightful write about a, just, you know, she just took that painting of Christine Janer of that house by the beach there, by the seaside, and just painted us a peaceful oasis where we can be free and at peace. And, you know, the imagery and emotions throughout this piece is just formidable. I would move there anytime in a heartbeat. And, you know, she said in her comment to me, you know that's what her dream house would be like, you know. And you know, and she just so just wonderful, wonderful, right? And Laurent, your thoughts on this poem?
Well, I agree with you entirely. It exemplifies the picture. I don't have it in front of me, but I do remember seeing it. And who wouldn't love an iconic beach house? And the way that she presents it follows on with the first stanza, my little beach house, filled with pure sunshine and love, bohemian home. The word bohemian pretty much indicates what we're going to find. And there it is, the pretty crystals. Spinning rainbows, melodic music, ships going by, daiquiris of island rum. And I love how she talks about growing flowers to surround my nice beach house. She wants to render beauty. The Japanese tea house, the cherry blossoms, the walk at sunset. And then marry all of that with her AN notes, which say, my dream is to be a housewife and to love the guy. My guy, whom I don't have yet. It's a delightful little piece that speaks of the present and of the future.
Oh, I agree. What an amazing comment. And Pam, you read that so beautifully. Your thoughts?
I thought this too. I thought it was absolutely delightful. First of all, I really enjoyed and appreciated that Betty shared her dreams with us. Wonderful imagery throughout, and even the appreciation for the music playing, melodic music plays on my fine stereo, classic rock and roll. And I really like Waterfalls, Cascade, Polynesian Paradise, clear blue heated pools, and I walk at sunset taking in nature's beauty, collecting seashells. There's such a sense of peace and contentment within those lines. Beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, I agree 100%. I just love, going to the beach when we go visit all our my family in the Gaspé. It's by the seaside there. And, I just love going to the beach and collecting all the little shells and especially sea glass. I just love sea glass. Okay, we're going to go on to the next poem, and I'm going to put it up. I'm going to find it here. Okay, I have it. So I'm going to put up Find Joy, which I think is another little beautifully written little piece. And Laurent, if you want to give that a read for us, please.
All right. Find Joy by Chang 22. Find joy in the little things. In the family potluck dinners, and in the out-on-the-town excursions with friends. Find joy in writing awe-inspiring poetry, in the meticulous crochet of beanies and yoke tops, and in the hiking trips up the steep mountain. Find joy in the mint chocolate chip ice cream, in the mango California rolls, and in the salmon and tuna mayo poke holes. End poem.
Yeah, the way he just picked out such unique, simple things, you know, can bring us so much happiness every day. It's just so cleverly put all together. I just found this so delightful, this poem. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. I really enjoy how this brevity does remind us to find joy in the simple gifts of life, the everyday gifts. You know, I do like the line, you know, find joy in the little things, in the family potluck dinners, you know, and then the finding joy in even something like a bite of ice cream, you know, really just absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Oh, I agree. I eat those bowls myself. I just love them. Laurent, your reading of that was marvelous. What did you think?
Well, I agree with you guys on the simple things and the way they were presented. But what I really enjoyed was the fact that the things she chose are all insights as to the character of the person. Not everyone likes salmon and tuna mayo yolk poke bowls or mango California rolls, but these are the things that she chose because these are the things she likes. So we find a character fully fleshed out almost just from the things they enjoy doing. Great piece.
Oh, yeah, just a great write. So next I'm going to put up SoundCloud, Pam, by Diane D. Whenever you're ready. On our maple syrup.
All right, here we go.
Maple Syrup by Diane D. Sap tapping from buckets of nature's confectioner's sugar that slather from pebbled pink to the roof of the mouth. Floral and milky oozes from their bark. Lavish onto the tip of a tingling tongue, the sticky golden delicate or amber rich. Inhale subtle scents of maple roundness with a cloudy cottony dragging your throat. Let the gumdrop juice liquefy the palate to dribble tulip pillows into powdery bats, to tease the tickles of toffee-like suckles. Dip your tongue into maple pop rockets, straining and tapping nougat bubbles to burst and drip, tantalizing trickles of stickiness. Sugars are packed into birch bark cones for sapsuckers to nurse nectars of purity. In the sugar bushes are hummingbirds, tasting needle tips of cashew confetti. Bidding good nights are lightning bugs that nest on top of the maple sap buckets. End poem.
Diane, she just made the whole maple syrup experience into something so sensual, just the sticky joyness of maple syrup, you know, such sweet, sugary way that awakens all our senses. You know, I just can't wait to get back to the spring for the maple syrup to start running from our trees up here. That's a big Quebec thing up here, maple syrup cabins, and we have the brunch at the maple cabins in the woods, where they have maple syrup breakfast, like maple syrup on everything from pancakes to eggs to bacon to ham. So, but she just, you know, she has some beautiful lines all throughout this poem. I love the, you know, inhale subtle scents of maple roundness with a cloudy cottony drag in your throat. and let the gumdrop juice liquefy the palais, to dribble tulip petals in powdery vats. She has some beautiful alliteration throughout this poem too, and just so well composed. You know, it's just dripping in golden sappiness here. Just fantastic. Laura, what did you think of this amazing write by Dee?
It was amazing because, well, sap tapping from buckets of nature's confectioner's sugar that slather from pebbled pink to the roof of the mouth, floral and milky oozes from their bark, that kind of wonderful detail really brings the sight, the sound, the smells of the image alive. And I agree with you. A cloudy, cottony drag in your throat line was especially vivid. I mean, I could actually feel it. It was great.
Yeah, I agree. And Pam, your thoughts on the poem?
Yeah, this is just absolutely wonderful all the way through. Just the beautiful use of language and imagery. And I really like that she involved all the senses. I particularly was fond of to tease the tickles of toffee-like suckles, dip your tongue into maple pop rockets. And for sapsuckers to nurse nectars of purity in the sugar bushes are hummingbirds. I like that she brings in the birds into there and the lightning bugs. And I also thought cashew confetti was a really nice a phrase. That, you know, all those images add up to really add to the depth of the write. It was beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Just so well crafted and put together this poem there. It's a masterful stroke. So thank you, Diane, and thank you for the SoundCloud. So appreciated every time to hear your voice, you know, reciting your poetry. Just so appreciated. So I'm going to put up the next poem by Light, and it's called Old Friends. And I'll give this one a read. Old Friends, how the time flies, those days we talked all night, reminiscing on memories without a fight. This feelings never dies. Old friends, I remember how we met, close to the tea shop and nets. You ordered coffee and I wanted nets. It was a beautiful sight to behold, knowing that we will grow old together. I know you are mine forever, old friends. I see the power in teamwork. There's strength in us. It's not just luck. We are like bread and butter. There's no other. There's no one without the other. This beauty within cuts across color or race. We are friends. Why don't you come in? Old friends, I can't wait to see you again. Your last journey, the world feels lonely. Please come back soon. Let's become children once again. End poem. And that was beautifully written by Light, a new poet that just joined us. Well, new poet, I think, just recently. What did you think, Pam, of a beautiful write?
Well, I like how this has a tone of talking to a friend or to friends. I'd like to know what nets is. I know what I think nets is, but in the context, I'm guessing it's some sort of beverage or something. I like learning new stuff. I see the power in teamwork. There's strength in us. It's not just luck. Those are really just wonderful words of wisdom there. And I like how it ends with, I can't wait to see you again. You know, the idea that the time spent together with a friend especially old friends that you don't get together with every all the time, really is something to look forward to, and beautifully written and very well done.
Oh, I agree. There's something about the camaraderie of when you're young, you know, you're the carefree way you are, you know, without a, you know, just when you're like your child, when you're children, you're just carefree and without a, you know, without responsibilities or anything. And the way she ends that poem on let's, you know, be children again, I think that was just beautiful. And Laurent, your thoughts on the poem?
Well, I think it's a perfect title, Old Friends, and I like how she leads each stanza with that for a couple of reasons. Number one, you can't have enough old friends. And number two, the problem with old friends is that they're old, and some of them aren't around anymore, and that can be heartbreaking because when you're with an old friend, you don't have to adopt any kind of pretense. You can drop the mask. You can just be yourself. You know, there's nothing that's hidden necessarily, that you're just, there's a naturalness between the two. As she says, towards the bottom, there's no, well, we are like bread and butter. There's no one without the other. This beauty within cuts across color or race. We are friends. Why don't you come in? And it's kind of a wistful, melancholy ending. You know, there's an old friend who's taken that last journey. And let's become children once again is a beautiful way to finish. Excellent piece.
Oh, I agree. You know, it's just so special to have that friend. And on one of us, and he wrote from one of the paintings that had old friends on it as a title, and you know, there's people, men talking in front of a garage or a cottage there on a farm. So nets, I don't know if it was fishing nets to go fishing. I wonder, Pam, but I'm not sure there, but it's just a great piece. So the next piece I'm going to put up is Rose Cottage by Doll in the Cupboard. And Pam, if you can give that a read for me, please.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. Rose Cottage by Doll in the Cupboard. She stood there in all her charm, surrounded by weeds so tall you needed 10 big men to chop off their heads. A gem I found in an English country garden, isolated, alone, dirt cheap, I'd hit a bargain. Upon a deceased mummy's wandering eye, we went to town on fetching her as her sobbing screams called out for new mom to have and to hold. 'Twas the night of Halloween 2008, to be precise, to time and date. My dear mother sweat her busy, nimble fingers off before it was too late, investigating, locating bumps in the land. No one wants a house on quicksand. We nailed every brick in the road. We never missed a stone unturned. Rose was her name, a cottage we found together along England country's southern country lanes, all covered in heather. An old chimney top at the top. Two, in fact, one could sit beside a fireplace. An auctioneer banged her hammer down. I'd won the bid. Sometimes life throws roses with rosebuds all in one spell. Mother and I danced under the Halloween moon. There must have been white witches sailing under it, too. She was mine, Rose Cottage. I took my son by the hand. We all danced in Peter Pan land. End poem.
Ah, that was a wonderful, wonderful read, Pam. From Rose in the Cupboard. She comes from the United Kingdom, and we can kind of tell because of, you know, the English countryside, the way she describes it so beautifully with all the imagery. And, you know, her mother called Rose. She said this was actually based on a real story. So her mother named Rose, and they just came along that little cottage, which they bought, you know. And I think this is just such a beautiful, beautiful tale. You know, it's just it's kind of like a serene but kind of a romantic feeling of old English country about it. What did you think, Laurent?
It's a wonderful vision, isn't it? That that English country cottage. And I could just see the roof peeking out over the top of the weeds, you know, totally lost to itself, like an old car that looks like it's a piece of junk, but you know what? Spit and polish and a little bit of labor and it comes back to life. Yet here we have that cottage that everybody dreams of finding. I really, really liked the "my dear mother" sweat her busy, nimble fingers off before it was too late, investigating locational bumps in the land. No one wants a house on quicksand. That was charming. not necessarily descriptive, but it spoke of a caution. Yes, they loved it, but you know, let's check things out here, which I like.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole piece is beautiful. I could quote from any spot and then talk about it. But that last line, "We all danced in Peter Pan land." Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Yvette.
Yeah, I was just enchanted by it. It just like it evokes like a kind of a magical and mystical dream in the reader's mind. It's so well composed. And Pam, what did you think of the doll in the cupboards, right?
Oh, I thought this was a wonderful write on finding that perfect home for herself and her family. And I like how it has a sense of thankfulness and how it personifies the house. And I like the part where it mentions, "We nailed every brick in the row. We never missed a stone unturned." You know, the whole idea of how hard they worked on the house together and that there's such a celebratory tone within this rite, especially those end lines. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah. Yeah, again inspired by, you know, the one of the paintings of Christine Genet there, just the magic. I think she took the magic out of the paintings and the emotion and the happiness and just put it into her writing. So I have the next piece up, if Laurent, if you would give that a read, please, by Poetic Creations.
All right. The Untamed Wild Side. Where the pinnacle is the pie, seagulls glide under the sunshine beside daisies when lazy, when the sun is at its noon high. Safe from flood and from fire, during winter, fall leaves I desire. Hand brushstrokes are alive. God's work we should all admire. Wild geese and pumpkins wide to the land, we are all tied, not by chain or shackles tight. Beside the untamed I ride. Over fertile land, those goose fly through old growth pine, like cranes craning their necks, as if to glimpse the divine. End poem.
Oh, it just was a beautiful read, Laurent. Yeah, I enjoyed this write so much. It is rich, you know, all throughout with beautiful imagery, but it also has a powerful spiritual message. You know, are tied to the land and, you know, the desire to be alive and you know, and the importance of that land that we live on, you know, and that he captures so beautifully in this rite. And he has amazing rhyme and rhythm throughout this poem too, so just bravo. Pam, your thoughts on this, right?
Yeah, this definitely has some really nice rhyme and meter to it. I like how this has such a sense of appreciation and celebration for nature. And I have to agree with you, there's a nice spiritual undertone, and especially with that second to last stanza, with "to the land we are all tied, not by chain or shackles tight, and beside the untamed I ride." Such a wonderful sense of connection. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, and I love how he incorporated the geese and the cranes there with their necks. And Laurent, what were your thoughts on the right?
It's a strong appreciation of nature, but it's seen through the prism of faith. A couple of times at least, God's work we should all admire, and as if to glimpse the divine. I don't think there's many of us who wouldn't say that when you look at a beautiful nature scene, that we are not filled with that spirit, the spirit of the divine. Well done in just a few words.
Oh, indeed. Bravo, bravo, poetic creations. He's from the United Kingdom too, I think, eh? I think so. Okay, I have our next write-up, Pam, if you'll give it a read, by Mamia.
Absolutely. All right, this is "That Boulder" by Mamia. And, oops, hold on, there we go. And it goes like this. "A boulder sits upon my chest, robbing me of my rest. A boulder crushes my very heart and just tears my life apart. Yet as I am crushed, the boulder shatters, and in the end, it is all that matters. As the relief I felt will not be there had not it been for that old boulder." End poem.
Yeah, by Mamia, all the way from the Philippines. And she wrote to the quote, I put up a quote, a few quotes throughout the paintings. And this is a quote by Virginia Woolf. "You cannot find peace by avoiding life." And I thought that was a very, a clever, excellent write to that quote. She took the quote and made it into a personal poem about surmounting obstacles in life and how you become stronger and wiser, and you're still alive, you know, although you go through so much things. Her message in this is just that, you know, you feel that relief, and sometimes you're happier for it, and you're more appreciative of life afterwards. And Laurent, what did you think of this, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. Mia is very discerning, and she knows that in order to feel that relief, that sense of relief, there has to be an escape from something that was truly terrible, truly bothering you. And then the use of the boulder as a metaphor for a sense of worry or an accident or anything bad that is occurring in one's life, I thought it was a great choice. I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, I agree. And Pam, you read that so beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is definitely a powerful write. I like how it to me, the general message I get from it is that, you know, when you go through the difficult times, you come out stronger. You come out more able to heal. Because you know you've been through something that has proved you to be a strong person. You know, yet as I am crushed, the boulder shatters, and in the end, it is all that matters. Wonderful rhyme and flow there, plus the whole idea that by her pushing back and using her own strength, she has overcome. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Oh, I agree. I put up the next poem, Laurent. Can I use you, your magical voice once more?
You can use it as many times as you want.
Okay. So this is by Random Scribbler.
I'll give it a random read. Okay. 12th month. Comes Sir December, tailing him, dressed in hazy mist white, rolls in mist dawn, gliding on her glacial wings, borrowed from her ephemeral escort, Jack Frost, straight from pole. Oozing chill all around, in unfurling snow over Sierra, Terra Firma, Aqua Family, making humans reluctant to get out of warm bed, unwilling to even touch, let alone soak themselves with Adam's ale. Lazy, sunny boy, missing his trips to the altar altogether, or puts an appearance, somnolent such, a pale shadow of his hitherto brilliance, through the approach of bloody midday, brings some blaze on his face, and thus happy, he shines to his full glory, gladdening the heart of denizens, wanting to bask in its rays. Madam Dusk is slowly making her way towards the sphere, determined to make the most of her time with the ice defender, prior to relinquishing her claim to her twin, Madam Eve. Talk of Madam Eve and her pals, Mr. Fogg setting in, Mr. Dark descending down. Peeps chilled to the bone are glad to return home, muscle and skin cocooned in velvety, fleecy clothes, steaming coffee in gloved hands, or hot cocoa for cold lips. Lady Nix is now gradually tiptoeing in, silently, quietly, watching smoldering embers resting in the hearth, radiating glowing warmth. Folks, their feet snug under satiny rug, enjoying one last drink before turning in. Baby sleep now beckoning, comfy quilt sorely tempting, sweet dreams calling. There goes the day, to come again with promise of more snowy spells and festive bells, of cozy times and merry rhymes, heralding the advent of Happy New Year after a period of adversities so severe. Hopefully, my dear, the new year will be of good cheer. End poem.
You know, what I find remarkable about this poet is that, she, you know, I don't know if it's a man. I think it's a man. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. But they're writing all the way from India about our winter here. And, you know, with all these wonderful created characters throughout. And this is just so enchanting and packed full of goodies, this read, oh my gracious, just a feast for the eyes and the mind. So creative. And Pam, did you get a chance to hear that read?
Well, I didn't get to hear the whole thing, but I did read this poem earlier, and I was really impressed how this had the personification of the natural elements of dusk, of summer, you know, or of winter, and you know, and even of the shadows, the nighttime. Lady Nix is now gradually tiptoeing and silently, quietly watching smoldering embers resting in the hearth. I thought those were just absolutely wonderful lines there. And I also like the reference to Madam Dusk and Mr. Fog. You know, it just has a really clever and delightful tone to it, and it's very well done.
Yeah, I agree. I love that too, the personification of those nature's elements throughout. And Laurent, you who read that so wonderfully, what's your thoughts?
Well, I've got to agree with you and Pam on everything that you said. One thing that was a little confusing initially, but then I grew to like quite a bit, was the way she moves in and out of tenses lends a certain immediacy to what you're reading, you know, the past, the present tense, et cetera. I like the imagery told through the descriptions. You know, lazy sunny boy, Sir December, Madam Dusk, Lady Nix. You can kind of gauge where these figures fit in the hierarchy of the story. And it's a story arc that is reading for the new year, which I really appreciate. Really well done piece.
Yeah, like the couple of lines in here, like muscles and skin cocooned in velvety, fleecy clothes, steaming coffee in gloved hands, or hot cocoa for cold lips. You know, that is just capturing our winter, you know, our winter here, you know, playing out in the snow with a cup of hot cocoa in our hands, you know, all in dressed up in our warm clothing. And then, you know, the feet snug under satiny rug, enjoying one last drink before turning in. Yeah, probably, you know, it's just capturing that evening, you know, and resting in the hearth, radiating glowing warmth by the fireplace, you know, just enjoying that one last drink before going to bed. So this is just an enchanting and very, very well done piece here. And Laurent, I think it's time for a little bit of Beatle. Can
no, no, ma'am.
a little bit of Beatle, the Beatle car, a little bit of Bug. Because I found this so wonderful, this little light. So, Laura, I'm going to have you read again, though. I'm sorry, but it's your piece.
No, that's fine. That's fine. When I looked at the art initially, I was struck by the fact that it's not quite primitive art. I think you described it as naive art. It kind of speaks a little bit to me about, you know, Grandma Moses. But her art was very, very primitive. This is a little more polished, a little more stylized, I think. But it still gives you that basic focus on the elements of what was in the artist's eye. And then I thought the choice of the bug, the beetle, the VW, was interesting. And then, of course, the other central figure in the middle is the dog. So I figured it's got to be about these two things. So this is called Bug and Hound. I tried to keep it simple, in line with the art. Little bug, where away? Does the road not call? Why so still, so silent? Hound awaits in thrall. Loves to chase, to nip at rolling rubber tires. Never mind the danger, his instincts all afire. On this golden morn, bonny birds are twittering. Fido chafes in waiting, many minutes frittering. The bug, content in place, rolled off the line in 65. She wore flowers in her hair, an iconic time to be alive. Road trip, Woodstock, 69. Artisanal wares, hippie fairs, protest marches, no more war, college years, two affairs, flat tires, brake pads, oil, dents from parking lots, lots of love and money, what she deserved, she got. Now she rested, shine rust-free, eased her tires a bit and dozed. Hound would have his chance if her human were so disposed. End poem.
Ah, this just, I just love this little write. I loved how you took the car and you named it, you know, the bug, you know, like we know it, and led us through her adventures in the 60s and made it so engaging, you know, all the way through lines like, you know, she wore flowers in her hair, an iconic time to be alive, a road trip, Woodstock, 69, artisanal wares, hippie fairs, protests, marches, no more war, college years, two affairs, you know, and then you go into the car itself with the flat tires and the brake pads and the oil dents, you know, lots of love and money, what she deserved, she got. And, you know, I just loved it all the way through. And Pam, your thoughts on Lorraine's write?
Oh, this is absolutely wonderful. Just an excellent tale of friendship or potential friendship. And I like how the dog immediately, in the beginning, wants the little bug to go running off with him, wants him to be able to chase the car. But the car is holding still. And I like how you take us through some history of the flower children, the hippies, the protest marches, the college years. You know, instantly within those lines, the car becomes a representation of the people who drove her. You know, and I like how, you know, that you say at the end, if her human were so disposed, you know, and there's that idea, you know, of there's such, you know, kind of a sense of sadness because, you know, the idea that being, that the human, the caretaker of both the dog and the car perhaps are no longer there. You know, just a really lovely write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Ah, yes, indeed. Just a delightful, right? So enchanting. I have the next write-up by Ninkasi. Lorraine, did you want to say, well, you did say a few things about your poem, but I was say something in French to our artist Christine Genet. Il a pris la photo de ta peinture où ce qu'il y a la voiture à côté de la maison, la petite coccinelle, et il a et le chien. Puis il a pris la voiture, puis il a appelé la bébite. Puis nous a amené au travers de Woodstock, puis les années 60, puis toutes les années plus hippies. Puis il trouve que votre peinture a parle beaucoup. Puis il a vraiment aimé. So that's just a few words for the artist from Lorraine, from what he said. I put up the next poem by Ninkasi, and Pam, can you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. This is Aikbana by Ninkasi, and it goes like this. Demented stairways spiraling, recoiling guts, spit disaster, drowning hopes wrinkle my brow, frowning shadows cast o'er my nape, frail pansies hover, cobwebs on my skin trail, whispering smoky tails of gray, dampened in monochrome. Okra faces peep over my shoulders, frowning in cross-eyed vacuum. Wall of eyes swim past sojourn in gasping breath. Limping lanterns crouch, portraits of chaos, companions in mist, my burning self. Ageless kites in everlasting skies, impressionistic fluffs collide, harbinger of peace lures. Ivory tombstones painted with light, vaulted mantelpiece on trembling clouds, life showcased in dream attire. End poem.
Yeah, and Ninkasi, she took the quote by Virginia Woolf also, "You cannot find peace by avoiding life." And I think she took elements, you know, this is so divinely well worded throughout this poem. But, you know, I just love that she took elements like limping lanterns, ageless kites, trembling clouds, and painted such a vivid picture of life, you know. Laura, what were your thoughts on this write?
Well, the first, four stanzas, I think, are not describing anything that is happy. The demented stairways spiraling, recalling guts, spit despair, the cobwebs on my skin trail, the whispering smoky tales of gray dampened in monochrome, all that speaks to age, neglect, emptiness. So I really see a person in an abandoned home looking around. Some elements of furniture are still there, the limping lanterns crouch, portraits of chaos. And it may be a home that she lived in, but what she remembers about it in the midst of all that neglect and are the ageless kites in everlasting skies, the impressionistic fluffs, the harbinger of peace viewers, but ivory tombstone painted with life as a giveaway. Now, either she's old enough to be at the point where you could pass whatever, or she has passed. And this is, you know, as she says in the last line, life showcase and dream attire. Yeah, it's that kind of clothing. I agree, but I do see somebody going through an old neglected home and the memories. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, it's a good analyze of that poem, I think, Laurent, there. I agree with you. Pam, what were your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I didn't know, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but Aikvana. I did not know what that was, so I had to look it up, and apparently it's a Japanese flower arranging art that goes by a strict rule. So I'm sure that the title itself makes for a wonderful metaphor. I really like how this has a very surrealistic, abstract feel to it. And there's really such a sense of despair, of loss. Limping lanterns crouch, portraits of chaos, companions in mist, my burning self. You know, I mean, I think that's some wonderful lines there that speak to me of those that inner light that you oftentimes need to discover. And ageless kites and everlasting skies. There's really a nice spiritual tone to this, right? But especially in the ideas of the ageless kites and ivory tombstones painted with life. I feel like there's a celebration of life and an honoring of death within those lines. It's beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, I agree. It's very, it's just a lot of metaphors, you know, wonderful metaphors use throughout to create emotion in this piece. Okay, so I'm going to put up another piece by an Indian friend poet, Tilla, which is learning, I think she's learning English. So I'm going to give this a read. It's called Winter Fun. My dad is an adventurous dude, always taking us for hiking, camping everywhere. He always keeps us busy in summer, always giving us surprises, taking us out so that we all are busy doing some kind of activity. We all the family meet a lot and enjoy each other's companies, keeping us healthy. We learn a great deal. It was a long weekend off, January cold winter morning, nothing to do, sleeping cozy in my bed. Woke up next morning, came downstairs for breakfast. Dad, with his big grin, he says, "Guys, you ready? We all are going to a winter picnic." All siblings looking at each other. "Dad, it's heavy snow. Picnic in cold weather, yes. You all will enjoy. Going to be fun." We all got ready with our woolies, my two kids. Siblings were not excited. They had decided to watch football, but later agreed to Dad's call. It was a two-hour ride from our place, and my surprise, I saw many campers in this winter site. We too parked our van. Each one got out, but it was very cold. Dad asked us to read the instructions on the camping board. They had a big restaurant nearby, too, with winter lodge wood cabins, too. We kept our food in our van and all decided to go bird watching and see many animal activities nearby. They had many winter game sites. We children decided to go and play. Many of us started to climb small hills. We all children started to roll down the hill. We laughed and enjoyed a lot for a minute. I thought, look at my dad, oh, he was the best dad in the world. He wanted us to enjoy life in winter. End poem. This captivated that art of our artist, Kristen Jeanette, so well. The whimsical feeling of the art there, the hill behind with the kids sliding, and they're all around the fireplace out in winter, which is an activity that we do a lot in Quebec here. We have outdoor fires, and we gather around the fires in the winter. Laurent, what did you think of this write by Tilla?
Well, you mentioned as you began the poem that you thought that she was learning English, and
mm-hmm.
and it's such a challenge to learn a different language and become mm-hmm. familiar with words, because everything that you want to say is bottled up inside of you, because the immediate word, the ready word, may not be right there. So whenever I have to try and write anything in any other language, which is infrequent, mind you, I really stick to the basics. That's all I can handle. And, you hope to embellish from there. And I see that in Tila's poem. She's given us the basics in simple, declarative, complete phrasing, complete sentences, which is a real challenge for a non-English speaker. And in so doing, she's given us the essential of what she sees in the image. She hasn't tried to embellish things. There's nothing really in the text to distract the reader too much from what she wants us to see. and I thought she succeeded at that very well.
Yeah. And, yeah, she just gives us the happiness and the excitement of playing out in the snow. Pam, what did you think of Tilla's poem?
Oh, this is an absolutely wonderful tale. And I like how she captures the joy of playing out in the snow, but more importantly, she captures the joy of spending time with family, and there's an especial admiration for the dad, like that connection between a father and their child is shown in this rite, and so it's very well done.
Yeah, me too. I noticed I was left with that thought of just the father playing with his children. I remember my father, well, we used to go sliding a lot, and right in the back of our house, we had this big hill, so we'd slide down right to the side of the river, and we'd go skiing, of course, skiing, and was our winter sport. So I'm going to put up the next rite, and it's we have an audio for this by Weaver of Dreams, the canvas. So, Pam, whenever you're ready.
All right. And let me find that. Here we go.
I wait, primed, pristine, for the artist-inspired touch. It begins as vibrant colors are picked to build a vista. Will today bring long, languid strokes? Will soft bristles fan out to disperse the oils in undulating loops and swirls? Perhaps a pure red sable brush might appear to blend and soften my edges. Or will there be brisk, impatient jabs from a stubbier one, thus allowing an impression to be left on pools of acrylic paint to point the way towards a more eclectic vision. Suddenly a palette knife slices the air. Another texture is added to my surface. This cold, sharp metal, when wielded by a sure hand, builds landscapes, forests, seas and rivers with ease, so that no other touch is needed due to this expertise. Artists have at their command these various implements to correlate an ideal. You can then be transported to a world of their making to soothe or stimulate. So squint your eyes, tilt your head, take a soft, deep breath, and see.
Yeah, just a wonderful write by Weaver of Dreams, all the way from the United Kingdom also. She's so it's so creative and clever. I thought the idea of writing from the point of view of the canvas, about art, but from the point of view of the canvas, and just, put in those questions that a canvas would ask. It brings really the whole rite to life. What did you think, Laurent, of this rite?
I really like both the poem and the poet. And in this case, the step-by-step appreciation, the step-by-step descriptions, the palette knife slicing the air, adding a texture, and how it works when wielded by a sure hand, what it can build, the brush, the pure red sable, the artist-inspired touch, soft bristles, all the right things in the right places, and building a picture of the artist working at his craft. So I thought that it was an inspired look, not only at the art of painting, but also the job of the viewer or the reader, if he's reading poetry, which is to see and appreciate the work. Well done.
Yeah, it leaves it with a kind of peacefulness there at the end, you know, like you said, the artist contemplating his work and being satisfied, you know, and just that is, you know how she said it with the tilt of your head, take a soft, deep breath and see. And Pam, what did you think of this write?
Yeah, this is an extremely clever write. I really like how the personification of the canvas that starts out blank, and then with the swift movement of the palette knife, texture is added to the surface. It really just represents wonderfully the idea of a person growing through experience. And so an excellent write and very well done.
Oh, I agree. I have the next write-up. Laurent, could you give that a read? It's by Arliss, and from Kansas in the United States, Arliss.
Well, I may have mispronounced it all these years, but I think it's Arliss.
Okay, yeah.
Called Going On Forever. The night drones on forever, until darkness yields to lustrous light, until black shadows fade to gray, yellow, and white. The dark shone the door to the void as the pasture, lights up with life forever, fixated on the moist green, undulations of earth which roll like slow waves, curling toward the shore. Regain your land legs to stand against the tide. My love soars on forever until the aloneness yields to the intimate one, until the eye settles its scores with the body, until the body changes its skin for the soul, which molts in the sun like a lizard in the great southwest, its deserts sublime as the Alps in autumn unlocked from the tyranny of the land, which exalts only plains for their dull fossil fuels. Thus life goes on forever until the end draws near, until the minutiae of mortality begin to add up to death in all its antiseptic ugliness, until the ventilator is switched off and the body breathes no more. If I can breathe without a brain, if the senses can gather their bounty with no gatherer guiding them on wildflowers bloom in the desert, bright bursts of color against the sea on monotonous gray, dive in. You got to apologize to Arliss for the way that was read. I did not pick up the proper tempo and the fact that there's so much continuity, even in the short phrasing from line to line. So that should have been better read, and I do apologize to Arliss for that. But poem itself, subject matter, nonpareil. Well done.
I thought you read that beautifully, Laurent. Stood out to me in this poem was the use of color throughout the poem was just absolutely fantastic. He chose to write to the painting with the wildflowers, and he has wildflowers out there. And I think the poem shows the vivacity of life against the grays and the shadows that taint it. An absolute beautiful pen here by Arliss. And Pam, what did you think of this write?
Yeah, I thought this had just really wonderful and thought-provoking imagery and metaphors. I really liked it all the way through, but what especially spoke to me is that second stanza, with the body until the body changes its skin for the soul, which molts in the sun like a lizard in the great southwest. desert sublime. You know, I like how this seems to be about the different transitions in life, and particularly the transition from life into death, into the next life. And, you know, I guess really there's a very meditative quality to the way he words things. And then a certain, like, of sadness and brutality too. It's all, in all its antiseptic ugliness, until the ventilator is switched off and the body breathes no more. Just absolutely an amazing write and very well done.
Yeah, indeed, I agree. And Laurent?
Yeah, the lines that struck me the strongest were the body breathes no more. If it can breathe without a brain, if the senses can gather their bounty with no gatherer guiding them on, that was gripping stuff. Great piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really a powerful, very, very powerful piece that he gave us here. I have the next piece up by Poem Butterfly, which is a new to our site, and new to our contest. Pam, if you'd give her a read, please.
All right. This is Flowers by Poem Butterfly, and it goes like this. We are like flowers, all distinctive in some way. Some are big, some small. But we're all the same deep inside. We are like flowers. Some last long. Others only a season may live. Our odors may diverge. Our colors may be dull. We are like flowers. Some are delightful. Some are not. We only have that much time to live out who we truly are. End poem.
Amazing read there, Pam. Yeah, Poem Butterfly from South Africa. She just joined our site, so I want to say welcome, and I hope she writes for more of our contests and shows. I just love this write. She took the flowers as an amazing metaphor for humankind, you know, and in all their singularly uniqueness. And just how we can show our true colors and our perfumes and, you know, that are uniquely ours. Laurent, what did you think of this little brevity here?
It's a great piece, and I join you in welcoming Poem Butterfly to the site and to Late Night Poets. This poem to me is a great look at reality through the metaphor of the flower. This is who we are, you know, who I am. And then we have to take it all on board and go out there and live. That's the message I'm getting. And well done.
Yes, I agree. And Pam, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful brevity with an extended metaphor. As you mentioned, Naomi, the representation of people using flowers. And I like how the message here seems to be about being true to yourself and loving yourself for who you are. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
I agree. Just a beautiful poem. And welcome again, Flower, a Poem Butterfly. So I'll post the next write. If, Lara, you can give that a read.
All right. This is The River Flows by Keith Drew. When youth vibrated in my heart, a fisherman was I. I was unaware how beautiful the river fish did lie. I took for granted nature in its true and fullest form. Now I have lived this life so full, I do so wish me, and once more, to fish that river once again. Return, my youth, the times of then, and breathe all of its beauty in. The river flows, all time within. End poem.
You know, this makes me think of the movie there. What was the movie, The River Flows Through It?
Yep.
You know, where, and the quote, you know, where the poem, you know, that the river, you know, you can step in a river twice and never be at the same place at the same time because, you know, the river is always flowing and always changing. Yeah, it brought me to my memory there. I just love the metaphor of the river as the passing of time. And Pam, what did you think of this, right?
Yeah, I thought this was wonderful. It had a very nostalgic feel to it. I like how it looks through the different transitions of life, you know, but especially looks back at youth and how we realize that when looking back that we still had so much to learn. I mean, it's a wonderful write all the way through, but I'm especially drawn to that second stanza, which I took for granted nature in its true and fullest form. You know, oftentimes we're so busy being absorbed in what we want at the moment, like whether it's that fish or whatever, and, you know, that we don't really take time to appreciate nature and life for what it is. So very well done.
Yeah, this is a very powerful spiritual message throughout this poem. I'm going to put the next link up. We have an audio for that. It's a song by our Martha Gettle. Whenever you're ready, Pam.
A Beautiful Day by Martha Gettle. It's going to be a beautiful day. There is not a cloud in my way. And that sun is shining bright. Beautiful day, beautiful life. I can't wait to go outside to get some sun on my eyes. I can use it, can you see? A little color would be good for me. Yes, it's going to be a beautiful day. I can't wait to go out and play. My dog is barking at the door. He can't wait to get outside even more. The sun is out there shining bright. I can't wait to feel his warming light. Yes, it's a beautiful day out there. I'm going out and forget all my cares. Yes, it's going to be a beautiful day. I can't wait to go out and play. My dog is barking at the door. He can't wait to get outside even more. The flowers are smiling so sweet. The green grass is soft at my feet. The trees are rising high. And the sun is shining in my eyes.
And it's such a beautiful happiness and such a happy and uplifting song, you know, just filled with pure, pure joy all throughout this. You know, I could use it. I can't wait to go outside to get some sun on my hide. I could use it. Can you see? A little color would be good for me. It's just, you know, she put some humor into this throughout it. And it's just a smile-go-lucky poem, you know, song here. time. I just enjoyed it so much. And Laurent, what were your thoughts on the song by Martha?
Well, basically the same as yours. It speaks of happiness. It speaks of the beauty of the day. All you have to do is look at that, the image of the girl smiling at the flowers, and there's nothing there that's going to make you unhappy. And the attitude of it's going to be a beautiful day is the right attitude, because if you tell yourself it's going to be a beautiful day, odds are it's going to be a beautiful day. If you walk outside full of doom and gloom, odds are it's going to be that kind of a day. So you take what you can from the day, and you smile, and you move on, and all that is exemplified in this poem.
Oh, I so agree with you. you know, it's just, it's all a question of attitude. You know, if you want to decide to start off your day smiling, well, you know, even if you have a bunch of frowning people around you, just smile harder. That's what I say. And Pam, what did your thoughts on the Martha song?
Oh, I thought this is a wonderful song. I like the attitude in it. I like how it's filled with so much joy. My favorite part, I think, have to be the chorus, especially with the lines, my dog is barking at the door. He can't wait to get outside even more. Like, there's just something about having a joyful companion like a dog, you know, someone who wants to go outside with you, who wants to spend time, you know, and really enjoys life. And I also really like that end stanza, the flowers are smiling so sweet, the green grass is soft at my feet. Just a celebration of the simple joy of stepping outside and appreciating life. So very well done.
Indeed. And thank you, Martha, each week, each show, for your wonderful sound clouds that you take time to record and send in, and take time, your time to write, you know, for each contest. It's so appreciated. So I'm going to put up the next write. If Laurent, if you could give that a read, by S. Sharp, Scott.
All right. This is called Where We Belong. Carolyn sits in the darkness of isolation, her sense of self left when he walked out the door, haggard, hard breathing as her heart strangles her lungs to asphyxiation. Mildred sits in the bright light shining through the beveled floor of the ceiling windows of the lobby of Sunny Day's retirement home, waiting day after day for her children who never show. Luis lost his job when the pandemic hit. People were panicked, avoiding all contact with others. He now collects cardboard on the streets of Portland, shelter from the wind, and the cold memories sink deep below his raggedy clothes. Paulette hangs herself from the closet rod in her bedroom, where her mom finds her. Her middle school friends on Snapchat told her she was ugly and she should kill herself. And I sit here pondering life today in the near silence of my house, outside the monotonous ticking of the grandfather clock. I recall days of past where people had no locks on their hearts nor doors when someone in need mattered, where a life wrought by the hammer of tribulations was where we all belonged, side by side, heart by heart, surviving this life together. End poem.
Yeah, well, wow, what a raw poignant, powerful, right? This just seizes the reader and screams to you like, whoa, stop and listen here a moment. The sad reality of today in so many places where, you know, we're all focused towards individuality instead of, you know, coming together. He wrote to the Mother Teresa, quote, "If we have no peace, it is because we forgot we all belong to each other." And I think he captured that so amazingly well with this just such a seizing right here. Pam, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, this is definitely a poignant and emotive write and a great take on the prompt. I like how he takes us through each individual person. And, you know, this is very well could be partially made up with all of these being made up characters, but it's all too real because each one of these people represent someone or something that has happened, especially in recent times with the upswing of, depression during the pandemic. And, and then I like how he ties it all together with the whole idea of, in those end stanzas, of looking back to way, you know, things used to be, of pondering the idea that we're not meant to live and deal with problems on our own. We're supposed to be surviving this life together. And just a powerful rite and very well done.
Yeah, I agree. Laura, your thoughts on Scott's rite?
Certainly. This poem was a real spur to my emotions, you know, peeling back indifference, reminding us of Mother Teresa's wisdom. We are all one, not just disparate atoms in some biological soup. And we all matter and are beholden to each other in one manner or another. Wonderful peace. A little rough on the emotions, but a wonderful peace.
Mm-hmm. So I'll put up the next piece. Pam, if you can give it a read by Liquid Mind Forever.
I'm sorry, I don't see anything. Hold on, let me refresh my page. All right. Are you sure you put it in Late Night Poets?
It's up. Refresh again.
It is up. Okay, let me try this again. All right.
Want me to put it in again?
Well, Lawrence says it's up, so it's obviously just my screen not. Ah, The Quest by Liquid Mind Forever. All right. Well, I do enjoy her writing, but I would very much prefer Lawrence to read this one, please.
Okay, Laurent.
Okay. I'm not sure if I should thank you, Pam, or come looking for you. Okay. This is called The Quest. And gold may be any object that you value and will rob, kill, and cheat to get. And good food and cheer cannot be had at the expense of any other. Forget greed and seed truth, wisdom, and honor among nations, tribes, creeds. Don't breed angst by taking without offering thanks. Be a warrior, but don't expect your creed to be the end all, to be all for all nations, peoples of color, religions, and in between. I don't believe this world and its people will change. Some live, work, and carry out a worthy, honorable life without picking up a knife, slit a pig, or take a swig of stout. For history repeats and repeats, and the feats of many have perished in tears many men again and again. Still, we're flailing, yipping, and tripping on our hedonistic, non-altruistic natures, a sick and sorry world ailing. And what food to eat? Should we eat meat? Should we kill our brothers of the forests, of the sky, of the waters, and undergrounds to satisfy our taste buds? Not ombudsmen. And what type of cheer steers straight on course without remorse? But if we resist your beliefs and your God, his teachings and preachings, there are many other clans, and we must not expand our strategy of thinking of only me and proclaim natives' lands, other hands, other bands. And whose song should we sing? The bird on wing, the whale in breech, the owl in screech, the river's muddy water song, the blacks who's done me wrong song? What throng of songs will make us happy? Some like Beethoven, some Elton John, some beseech us to praise the Lord and sing hymns unto him. But who's him? Can anything, anyone be wrong? If we sing with our hearts and not our minds about nature, the wind, the sky, the cornstalk, hawk. This world is do-gooders throughout history, and many changes have occurred, but more capitalism makes whores and imbeciles of the hordes of men and children who adore and roar for victimhood against brotherhood, the herbivore against the omnivore, and cans for store what comes before a war. Until the false pride rides silent, nine volume, there shall be much gore, and continue the folklore of more is better, or less is more. We need to allow all, not abhor. End poem.
Yeah, this is such a powerful, you know, powerful voice, this right. The quote is number 7. I'm just going to go and see what that quote is. Number 7 is, if more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world. So she wrote to J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of Lord of the Rings there. Just a powerful voice. What did you think of this write, Pam?
Yeah, this is definitely a powerful write. And I like how she uses a strong voice to remind us that we have to set aside differences. We have to appreciate people for their differences. We have to take care of each other. We have to take care of the earth. And we got to set aside the toxicity of greed, of trying to climb that corporate ladder, or trying to put ourselves first, and really learn to connect with each other and to connect with nature and, you know, find that sense of peace within. So definitely a strong write and very well done.
Yeah, you can see her Indian heritage shine through, so strongly, her roots, you know, in this poem here, you know. Laurent, what did you think? You read that so wonderfully, amazing. What were your thoughts?
My thoughts include the fact that I should have read it before the show, number one. But I would, I agree with everything you guys said. I would have loved to have heard Sir Richard Burton read this piece, or maybe Laurence Olivier. It deserves that kind of vocal gravitas, that majesty of rolling thunder, or the sibilant hiss of wind. They had marvelous voices, and this just begs to be performed, not just read.
Well, I thought you read that amazingly, Laura. Yeah, she has so many beautiful lines in here. You know, and whose song should we sing? The birds on wing, the wail and breach, the howl and screech, the river's muddy water song, the blacks who's done me wrong song, the throng of songs will make us happy, some like Beethoven, some Elton John. You know, she just goes on a roar here throughout this whole thing, you know, and denounces so much corruption and speaks out so much truth and such a powerful right at it, and leaves the reader with so many questions to ponder, you know. Just such a strong, insightful right here by Liquid Mind Forever. So just bravo on this right. So I'll post the next piece, and Pam, if you can read that one by Beth Evans.
Absolutely. All right, and to Miss Wolf's Wise Words by Beth Evans, and it goes like this. Admittedly, okay, you can't find peace by avoiding life, Virginia Woolf. Admittedly, these words do make good sense. I am prepared to acknowledge this fact. No one should live a life of mere pretense, and though, as though upon a stage simply to act, and thus from all reality detract. But ugliness is now so prevalent, I hide myself away from its impact. What peace I find cannot be permanent, for is this world today still pertinent? This world of ours was always full of war. The sports of death is almost always prevalent, as much with us as ever were the poor. And since my mind, too, is a battleground, tranquility is not easily found. End poem.
Sorry. Yeah, it is always so stimulating for our intellect, the way, you know, Beth Evans can take a quote and just tear it apart and analyze it and breathe new introspection into it. You know, she does it. She's done it in quite a few of my contests so far. And I just find that so clever and witty. Lorraine, how would you go about this poem?
Well, the lines, no one should live a life of mere pretense, as though upon a stage simply to act, and thus from all reality detract. And she speaks about ugliness being prevalent, and it is. Boy, I'm 72 years old. About to be 73, and I can't find a time in my memory, not even in the 60s, because we were still that, you know, that nation that conquered the evil of World War II. We were still held in high regard both around the world and by ourselves, and we were involved. We were engaged. You didn't engage. There was no pretense. I mean, if there was pretense, most of the time you didn't survive. Now, the poem says this world of ours is always full of war, and the sport of death is always prevalent. And that is, you know, the ugliness that she would love to hide herself away from, you know, the impact of that kind of thing. And the ending is kind of, it doesn't resolve anything because tranquility is not easily found. It's a plain statement, absolutely true. There's no easy way to happiness or peace. Not today in this world. But you'll find it. You will find it. It's just harder to find.
Oh, I so agree. And this this pandemic, it seems to be bringing out much more ugliness in everybody. You know, the anti-vaccines against the people that believe in the vaccines. Like, I live it right in my between my own children. It's so true what you said. Tranquility is not easily found. And Pam, you read that so wonderfully. This right. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful, thought-provoking right on the reflecting on the ugliness of life. And how there seems to always be a constant flow of war and battlegrounds, not only physically, but in the mind as well. So absolutely a wonderful rite and very well done.
Oh, I agree. She always twists them around every time Beth does. She's just an amazing writer. Okay, I have the next poem up by Incubus, Bringing Beauty Back, and I'll give this a read. We may, Bringing Beauty Back by Incubus, Incubus 2, and I think he is new also to the all poetry. We may all come from different worlds, race, creed, religion, social standing, all meld and melt away. For here we are all one family, sharing ideas and exchanging cultural knowledge. Where else but the United Nations can you find so many countries working together, all aiming for the same thing, to bring beauty into this dark, depressing world? End poem. And Laurent, your thoughts on this rite?
I was going to use the word amused in reference to anybody referencing the United Nations, which is really a highly ineffectual organization, which is a pity, because it's the United Nations itself that really has given the world a chance at times, but still, it's ruled by the larger countries who pretty mm-hmm. much do what they want to do. But it's an ideal, isn't it? Because in truth, if the ideal could be met, where else but the United Nations can you find so many countries working together, all aiming for the same thing? Well, they aim for the same thing, but much of that dark, depressing world, which the poet writes, is finds its way into the United Nations. And, you know, you can talk about the United Nations as an organization, as a building, as an ideal. It could bring beauty back. But, boy, it needs a lot of help, I guess, like anything in today's world. So.
I can't agree more. It's always the more powerful countries that have the last say, eh? In everything, and that's the reality of the world we live in.
Hey, what are you from Canada? Are you from Canada?
You know, that's something, you know, I get from the Maritimes. I don't know if the rest of the English Canada, they put A at the end of their sentence, but my mom, my grandma and my great-grandmother, I remember them talking, and they were worse than me. Like, there's an A on PI there. There's an A on every freaking sentence. Like, it's nice today, eh? Have a good time, eh?
What did you do? Don't you agree with what I just said? It was so wise.
Yeah. Pam, can I have your thoughts on this poem?
Hey.
Absolutely. Hey. I thought this was a wonderful brevity on celebrating the beauty of cultural differences. So very well done.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll put up the next link to the pop it in here. And I'll give this a read. It's by Millie Hughes, and it's called Music Notes. Music for our eyes, paint swirls, arranged artistically by the painter's brush. Poetry's words are music notes for our ears. Some feather light, and others heavy as lead. Both necessary to stir the indigo waters of our minds, to breathe fresh sunshine, pale yellow, into each day. She wrote to the quote, Pam, I'll get your thoughts on the poem while I go research that prompt.
Sure. I thought this was absolutely delightful. I like how she reminds us that painting is music for the eyes, and, you know, poetry is music for the ears, and that both need to stir, to offer up a stirring of the mind. So beautifully written and definitely very well done.
Indeed, yes. Just a brilliantly written little brevity. And the prompt is, to me, art begets art. Painting feeds the eye just as poetry feeds the ear, which is to say that both feed the soul. And that was written by Susan Vreeland. And Laurent, your thoughts on this little brevity?
Yes, both feed the soul, to me, is a salient point. They feed each other, the image, the painting, the words, born of a response to the painting, sitting in ourselves. I'm struck by the pale yellow into each day. Even a sunrise can be rich. A pale yellow is the general modicum, perhaps, of color, is searching for that place of even strength, not too high, not too low, somewhere in the middle, which is kind of the way I view music notes that might just be plunking from a nearby piano or the lazy saw of a bow on a violin. Nothing dramatic, just down the middle, nice and even. If that makes sense.
It does. I loved how she worked color in throughout the poem too. You know, the like the swirls of the paint, the pale yellow into each day. Just a wonderfully written the brevity here, so well composed and thought out, you know, and just the indigo waters, that last stanza there, both necessary to serve the indigo waters of our minds to breathe fresh sunshine, pale yellow into each day. Just thought it was just a clever written right all through, just amazing. And, well, guys, I think that we don't have time for another poem. I'll have, like, we just have three carryovers for next week for another show. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that wrote for us, you know, that put heart into the writing each time, and for your precious time. And to Laurent, my gracious, your presence is so appreciated each time. And to Pam, of course, thank you for being there. And thank you to everybody, you know, that's sending us a SoundCloud as well. You know, it's so appreciated.
Bonsoir to all the Québécois.
Yeah, bonsoir to toutes nos amis Québécois and to Christine Genet for her art, ton merveilleux art et ton merveilleux talent. Pam, do you have any announcements you'd like to make?
No, just a great show tonight, Naomi. Wonderful topic. And, have a good night, everyone.
Yeah, good night, everybody. Sweet dreams.